Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well, and standing redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to be reading verse 27 down to verse 29 this morning, just three verses. John chapter 14. And if you will, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, Lord, we love you, thanking you for, first of all, loving us, thanking you for every opportunity that you make available to us just to draw closer to you. This morning, I pray, Father, for all that are assembled here in this auditorium, and through all that might be still watching through live stream. And Lord, I just pray that you would just give each one of us that mind to understand and a heart to make an application to what you have for us. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, if we go back over and to look at John chapter 10 and verse 10, because the last several weeks we've been addressing abundant life, the life that God would have us to be able to live through Christ. And Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse 10. This has been our text verse throughout all this, these lessons. The Bible says, "The thief," and we know the thief to be referring to the devil himself, "cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus came from heaven, manifested in the flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh, lived a sinless life as an example to how we ought to live our lives. He paid a sin debt that we all owed and couldn't pay. He resurrected from the grave and he ascended up to heaven. After establishing his church, after fulfilling the Old Testament and establishing New Testament Christianity, he gave us full revelation from God. There's no more revelation. There's nothing else that we need to know that God has not revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And the Bible, the New Testament scriptures, is a fulfillment of the Old Testament and God's perfect will for humanity. And it's abundant living. It's the abundant life. That's what he brought to us, the Christian life. A life that is filled with blessings, a life that gives you a peace that passes understanding. A life that we all can and should enjoy living, but many are not living it. And the reason we're not living it is because of the devil. The spirit of the devil himself seeks to steal and kill and destroy anything and everything that God has for humanity. So we've been looking at these things and trying to know what we need to do to be able to have the life that God wants us to live. And the scriptures are very clear on things that we need to put out of our life that's going to hinder the abundant life, and also the things that we need to apply to our lives that will bring to us this abundant living. In John chapter 14, as we're looking here this morning, and this is the text that we've read, verse 27, verse down to verse 29, Jesus, before his crucifixion, before he would go to the cross and then resurrect on the third day and then be ascended up to heaven, he spake these words to his apostles because he knew the disciples would experience trouble and being afraid. When he would be arrested and they would see him crucified, even though he had taught them, they did not fully would understand it until after he would reveal himself to as a resurrected Savior. But in this time, they would experience tremendous fear, troubled and being afraid. It would somewhat overwhelm them for about 3 days. He said in verse 29, "And now I have told you before it come to pass." I'm telling you what's going to happen before it comes to pass. That when it is come to pass, when what I have prophesied, when I have told you what is going to happen, and it does happen. He told them that he was going to die. He would be arrested. He would be crucified. But he also told them that in 3 days he would resurrect, because he was to reveal that he was God manifest in the flesh. And he came to pay that sin debt that they owed and couldn't pay. And so he said that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And having full belief, be able to rejoice. Because in verse 28, he said that, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice." We rejoice because he did die, but he's going to be resurrected. He came as a sacrificial lamb. He will come back a second time as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so when you have faith to believe everything that I have said to you, everything that I have taught you, the example of the abundant life that I have lived before you, you will rejoice. You will rejoice. They would live out the rest of their lives after the resurrection with his peace, without fear, enjoying the abundant life. And whatever they would face, and they would face a lot of things, but they would live out their lives living this abundant life. Facing trouble and experiencing being afraid, it's a part of our life. It's part of the physical life that we live. We've never been promised that we would live a life without facing trouble. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. We will face trials, and we will face persecutions, and we will face troubles. But it doesn't have to lead into being afraid. We will experience being afraid because of a sin nature and because of the darkness of the world that we live in. But we don't have to live our lives in fear, because we can learn not to be afraid. That's what he's presenting to the disciples. They were to let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart, that's something that you will determine. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In facing trouble and being afraid, have you ever been there? If you've lived very many years at all, then you know exactly what he's talking about here, about being in trouble and being afraid. I remember, of course, I was the youngest of seven boys and had six sisters. And, of course, it was like having three different families. You know, as the older ones moved on, the younger ones come on. There was 13 of us. And it was something, that last group. I was part of the last group, if you will, that living together at home. And since I was the youngest boy, I was always told, you're in trouble. When dad comes home, I'm telling on you because you did this, this, and that, and you're going to be in trouble. And I remember, if I truly was going to be in trouble, I remember fearing and thinking, can I run away? Is there a place I can go and live out the rest of my life without having to deal with my dad's anger? Because I feared, it was a reverential fear though, but it was a fear nonetheless of the discipline that I was going to receive. In trouble and afraid. Have you ever been in trouble with the law? I won't go into experiences there, but the idea of I could go to jail. I was only 10 years old, but I mean, I could go to jail. I'm in trouble because I did something I should not have done, and my dad turned me in. Can you believe that? Come on, Dad. One of the best things that happened to me early on, though, is my dad turned me in and put a fear within me that if you break the law, then you are in trouble and you ought to be fearful of going to jail. Because the fear of going to jail has probably helped me not to do, but to break the law like I did, and not to continue to break the law and not have any fear of going, having any punishment. Have you ever been in fear of losing your job? Because you didn't make a quota? Because something else is going on? And you think, what am I going to do? I think all of us can identify with this understanding of in trouble and being afraid. Jesus addressed this with his disciples before he would go to the cross. They were to know that they were part of God's plan. If they knew and believed in God, and they knew they were part of God's plan, then there was no need for them to be afraid. Because he would leave them peace and faith, which would lead to their being able to rejoice. And no matter what's taken place, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. If you have learned how to not be afraid. Yeah. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. Now, he hasn't left yet, but he's saying, when you see me leave, when you see me being crucified, if you're not careful, then you're going to be overwhelmed with troubled hearts and a fear of being afraid. But peace I leave with you. My peace. Not the peace that the world gives. You can't The world tries to console. The world will try to give you a certain amount of comfort and peace. But the Bible says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The peace that I'm going to give you, it comes from God. It's way beyond anything that this world has to offer. Because it takes you through eternity. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. If you're looking to the world, you're looking to yourself and what you can do and how you can do it, listen, you're going to be troubled. You're not going to be able to overcome a troubled heart. And along with that trouble that you're experiencing, being afraid. This is something that we have that goes beyond the flesh. This is something that we have that we can yield to that goes beyond what's available in the world. The world just wants to give you a lot of drugs. Medicate you where you can't even think and exist. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I have told you before it came to pass that when it is come to pass, when you have to face troubled times, when you have to face fear, you might believe. Wow. We can find peace in our faith. Where does this idea of being afraid come from? Can I tell you, and you know the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's a spirit. Fear is attached to a spirit. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God says, when you look to me and you receive what I have to offer you, you can have this understanding of power. When you know that you are stronger than someone else that is threatening you, can I tell you there's a peace about there? There's a peace about that. There's peace that comes along with power, strength, because I'm not afraid of something that is weaker than me. I'm not afraid of something that I know cannot overpower me. Amen? God says, when you look to me, I'm going to give you a spirit of power. There's nothing any more powerful than God. Love. Love has a way of bringing us a calmness into our lives. And a sound mind. How great is that? Because the mind is what needs to be calmed down most of the time. Because we allow ourselves to go places we shouldn't go with our minds. The imagination of the mind, wow, destroys a lot of people. Gets you to where you're fearing things that couldn't possibly happen. But if you think it can happen, then you're going to be overwhelmed with fear. God says, I don't give you the spirit of fear, but there is a spirit of fear. But my spirit will give you that of power and love and a sound mind. So he helps us understand, where did fear come from? There's no fear in heaven. There's no trouble in heaven. God did not create us to fear anything. But now it's a part of our life. It's something we all face. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us where it came from. Genesis and chapter, and we can learn from this because we have to know where it comes from for us to overcome it. Knowledge is one of the best things for you to help you to overcome. Truth and knowledge will help you to overcome lies and deception. We're living in the age of deception. And we have to learn what is true and what is not true, what is a lie and what is deception and what is truth. So Genesis chapter 3, go back to the very beginning of humanity here. And after the creation of man, man was not created to fear. Man was created to have this idea of power, love, and a sound mind, because that comes from God. That's how he created us in his image, after his likeness. But something happened here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, this is exactly what God told them not to do, because once they did this, they would surely die. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually and separated from God, and they incurred a sin nature that would lead them to death. And the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They changed. What we're looking at here, we're not going to go into the idea of the understanding of the nakedness of it, but they realized they were different. They changed. Their thinking changed. The way they perceived things changed. They died without even understanding the spiritual death. But they were separated from God. No longer were they like God. Because of their sin, they had died. And look what it says about it. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Never before had they done that. Never before did they have a reason to do that. Would they even think about doing that? They hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And look right here, underline this. And I was afraid. The first recording of fear in man. Afraid. Afraid of God, who gave them life? They no longer had the Spirit of God, power, love, and a sound mind. They had a spirit of fear. And he said, verse 11, who told thee that thou was naked? God knew exactly that he wanted Adam to understand it. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And they incurred a sin nature. With that sin nature, they were separated from God. That's why they had to be redeemed. Amen. The song that we sang earlier. And that redemption could only come by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. With that blood of Jesus Christ and with being redeemed, we are no longer in bondage to fear. We will face it. We can overcome it. That's what Jesus was teaching them. That's exactly what our text was revealing. This is the abundant life is living a life without fear. The abundant life is living the life enjoying the blessings and the peace of God and understanding what's to come and even rejoicing over what we have to look forward to in Christ. That's the abundant life. Nothing can take that away from us. No matter what we have to experience on this earth, nothing can take away that blessing of the abundant life if you don't let it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's part of the abundant life. Overcoming fear. We're not afraid. We have faith. We need to know I don't have to fear. I have faith. God has a purpose and God has a plan for my life. My faith reveals that. As long as I am looking to God, He does not cause everything to happen that happens, but He's aware of it before it ever happens. And if He allows it to happen, then He has a purpose and a plan for allowing whatever God allows. That's faith. And so if God, who is the creator of all things, who has a plan and a design, if He is going to allow something in my life, why do I have to fear that? I don't fear God. I don't fear what God brings into my life. What I need to fear, if I'm outside of the will of God and the devil has rule and reign in my life, you better fear him. You better fear that destruction that he'll bring into your life. Without God, you don't have power over the devil. Without God, you don't have love. And you don't have that sound mind. Wow. We need to learn. And with him saying, let not, that tells us that we can learn not to be afraid. Where does it start? Well, go back with me, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is what he said in the beginning of this chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because he was sent from God. He was God manifested in the flesh. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How can you not rejoice in that? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How can we not rejoice in that? And Jesus said unto him, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is how you have abundant life, by looking to me as the way and the truth, and you can have this abundant life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is where this faith must begin. Salvation not in religion, salvation not in what I can accomplish, salvation not how much money I give. No, salvation is in your belief in Jesus Christ and receiving the gift of everlasting life that he wants to give. Because he's the one that paid for our sin debt. And only he can offer us this forgiveness of our sins and this everlasting life. In Psalms chapter 3, let me read to you a few psalms here. Write these psalms down. I'm going to go rather quickly here, but I think you'll enjoy this. Psalms chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Verse 5, he says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me, believing that God can sustain me. I will not be afraid. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon thy cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. Selah. In chapter 56, I love what the psalmist would write here in Psalm 56, verses 1 down to verse 4. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Trouble all around us. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. But what time I am afraid, when I experience this trouble and experience this fear, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The psalmist says, I learned how to overcome it. It's not that I don't experience it, but I don't give in to it. I don't give in to trouble. I don't give in to fear. Because I've learned to put my faith and trust in God. In Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 through 5, we find here, he says, gives us some more insight that helps us to understand we need to do this very same thing. In Psalm 91 and verse 1, he says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're living inside the will of God, then you're going to be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid because I have faith in his word. I have faith in his being. I have faith in his presence. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid. Jesus told Jairus, whose daughter had just died, he said, be not afraid, only believe. Wow. We just need to rehearse that. Be not afraid when I'm fearful. It's not of God. Only believe. Fear. I got thinking, how is it that many seek thrills associated with fear? It's a crazy thing. Fear is something in life that we don't want. But then we turn around and look to use fear to give us a thrill. I'm thinking of amusement parks. I'm thinking of one of the closest ones, Kings Island, the roller coaster rides, the Beast. And you walk through lines, and I've been there many a times. You think, you went back after the first time? Yeah. And you walk through line that has signs saying, you got to make sure your heart just right, or you could die on this ride. Before you get on the ride, there's a lawyer over here saying, if you want to change your will in New Testament right now, it's the time to do it. everything in the line and everything you're reading about it leads you to think, I could die. And yet we're somewhat excited about getting on the ride that we think that we could die on. And then you get on the ride and you start going and it looks like you're going to crash and then you turn. And you go up and down and you're thinking the whole time, this thing could derail and we could all die. You get off and what do? You get in line to go back and do it again. Wow. I've been to Disney. The Tower of Terror. I mean, spooky. An elevator ride makes you afraid ever to get on another elevator. The same things out there. If you have any heart problems in it, you shouldn't do riding this ride. This all these different things you're reading, and then it tells you a story about somebody dying on the road on this elevator. You get up there and you think. And then the elevator breaks and it's straight down. And you're thinking, we could die on this one for sure. But yet we find something in the thrill of it. How can you get on something like that and enjoy it? That's important. Because they make you think you're going to die. But we settle something in our minds before you ever get on it. You settle something in your minds and you tell yourself what? It's really safe. It's just a bunch of hype. Come on, it's an amusement park. We're to be amused. This is not really going to take my life. It'll be fine. Especially if you got your kids with you, you know, you're trying to calm them down because you don't want to go all the way back down the other side of the line. You wait in the line for an hour and a half. It's going to be all right. Others have done it. You're not the first one to get on this ride. Is that how we kind of talk to ourselves? I remember going cliff diving first time, about 100 feet in the air, and I'm looking down, and you can see the rocks around it, and I'm thinking, I don't know how deep that water is. I could die. You go first. Yeah. If he goes first and he gets up without dying, then I've got a little more confidence. I'm not going to die. Might even enjoy the drop if I know I'm not going to die. A thrill. Yeah. Others have done it. Here you go. It was designed and built by intelligent, capable people. They know what they're doing. Really? Yeah. It's a controlled experience. And you have to convince yourself of all these things before you can enjoy the ride. And even hold your hands up. I still not got there yet, but they'll do that. Huh? Hold your hands up. Enjoy the experience because of all of these things. It's really safe. I'll be fine. Others have done it. It was designed and built by intelligent, capable people. We can do that on a roller coaster ride. Life is much more serious. Life is much more serious when you're facing being afraid. Maybe you need to remind yourself of some things. I have a Heavenly Father. who created all things, has a purpose for my life. I have a Savior who's proven that He loves me by He came and became a man and went to the cross of Calvary and there suffered and bled and died for me. And He's ever living to make intercession for me. That means that He's going to hear my prayer. And He's going to present it to the Father. I need to remind myself I have an indwelling Holy Spirit that can bear witness with my spirit and can give me the peace because He's within me. Can give me assurance. Can help me when I'm facing troubled times. Can truly do something for me this world cannot do for me. Goes beyond what this world has to offer, but is connected to my Savior. And He dwells within me. I can even go as far as say the Bible says I have a guardian angel who are ministering spirits. I went through my heart surgery and all the different things. I had a tremendous blessing and assurance, a calmness by just being aware of God's presence and the guardian angels that God would send to minister to me. And it took away the fear, took away the trouble. Heaven is a real place. God is a real creator. Jesus is a real Savior. The Holy Ghost is a real comforter. I don't have to fear. Whenever I'm having to face trouble, I have to face being afraid, I just look to Him. I let not my heart. I control my thoughts. I control my mind. I control my heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because I've given you peace in your faith. And if you have peace in your faith, you'll be able to rejoice. If you're in Christ, you have nothing to be afraid of. That's the abundant life. Being able to face any trouble without being afraid. That's the abundant life. That's what Jesus says, I brought to you. You can't have it any other way. But I've come to bring you life and that you might have life more abundantly. The abundant life can remove fears and troubles that lead to being afraid. Don't you want it? In Christ, you can have it. Accept it. If I could have every head bowed this morning and every eye closed. Abundant life. In this physical flesh and in this dark world, we're going to face troubled times. We're going to face temptations of fear. But I don't need to let them control me. I can control them in Christ. It's a life that we have. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the truth. of your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for how you have revealed, how you spoke to the disciples concerning the troubled times and the fear that they would experience, and helping them to know that they can overcome it, and so can we today. Bless in this invitation. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, I pray that they would come right now, this morning. Let someone take a Bible and show them what the Bible says that a person must do to be saved. If there's someone, a saved individual here, that's blinded to the peace and comfort that is a part of salvation and the abundant life, I pray they would come and help us get them to get that which you have for them. Bless in the invitation. Work in our midst here. In Jesus' name, amen.